I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final pre-Christmas edition of The Ruck. My late colleague A.A. Gill said about sport, it's like being in a waiting room of an inner-city accident and emergency department with a ruptured colon. And I've never agreed with that till I watched the Sports Personality of the Year Awards last night. Now I can see where my dear colleague was coming from. What a load of patronising, cloying, uninformed pap it was. That's just my opinion, obviously, but you might share it. But what? It's just awful. It's got nothing to do with sport. It was politically correct. Slotty, am I being hard here? Because it looked like the next episode of the send-up of the BBC, that W1A stuff. It looked exactly like it in every respect. Am I wrong?
I think you're being really hard, actually, but probably very fair, and I didn't watch any of it.
All right, that's enough. If you disagreed with me...
I agree with you. Right. You're being hard but fair. I didn't watch any of it, and I don't mind that, because they haven't got any rights, so they have to make it up and do funny stuff. And,
no, you're right.
And talk to people.
No, you're right. It's a fashion show as well.
I agree with you on a lot of that, because it feels like someone's ramming glitter down your throat.
Yeah.
You know, it's so saccharine. And if it's not saccharine, then it's too po-faced and there's swelling music. Everything seems on the edge of crescendo when you're watching Spotty.
Harry Kane didn't win, did he? He was shortlisted.
No, it wasn't just because Harry Kane didn't win. It wasn't that. I mean, I just thought, I mean, say what you like about the winner. They do freeze samples for retesting in years' time
do they take a sample from the Spotty winner?
Well, no, not for doing that, but they do freeze them to put extra tests on them as the science advances in the year's time, but we better not go there. Steve, surely you'd have nothing to do with these end of year. Above all, I'm sure you would never disgrace yourself by being on a panel like for the Welsh Sports Personality of the Year, or would you?
Right. And I ensured that Jonathan Davis won it, so...
Right.
As we're on a rugby podcast, that can't be a bad thing.
No, absolutely.
I'll go back to Slotty's point. I mean, the trouble is they haven't got any footage, have they, to show? The great thing about Spotty in the old days was it was a review of the year, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly.
You could go back on and watch everything that happened in the year, and you can't do that anymore.
And now it's a review of somebody else's year. It is, honestly.
Yeah. Have we stopped introducing the guests?
Oh no! Do you think our
audience knows everyone so well they just recognise the voices? Which
no,
is
they've
thought.
Never heard of any of you. That's why I'm not bothering introducing you. Right. I'm terribly sorry about that. I was going to get round to it. First of all, hang on. I'm just going to look at their names because I forget them. First of all, fresh from the train journey via Paddington, and the man who predicted that England would win the Ashes by 5-0.
I never said that.
Oh, did not say that. Oh, sorry, didn't say that. Seriously, he's come a long way. Steve James of The Times, distinguished ex-cricketer and very, very distinguished current rugby and cricket writer. Also, we got Big Al from Rugby World.
Hello.
So-called because no one can remember his surname. but we'll be coming to Al in a minute because he's done an excellent article in the most recent edition of Rugby World, which took a big research and was good reading. And on the front cover of Rugby World, it says Rugby's Dark Side. Welcome, Big Al, and to Owen Slott. Owen, fresh or maybe not so fresh from Claremont. I hear some of the guys had travel difficulties. Were you okay?
Yeah, the Telegraph sadly got stuck on the way back.
Oh, so
yeah.
we're feeling sad about that.
Yeah.
Apparently,
yeah, you stick by your colleagues, don't you? But there are within reason.
Well, exactly. Yeah. They probably fell over a huge pile of unsold telegraphs and hurt themselves. Anyway, welcome back. Welcome back, Owen. And you did go to one of the great venues. Is that correct? Leave aside the game for a minute. One of the great venues in rugby.
Yeah, we like this subject, don't we? Your favourite place to watch a game of club rugby. And that's in the top three, in my opinion. Easy. It was magnificent yesterday. And the way, if you've been there loads of times. You see, he's wearing his Claremont sweatshirt.
I'm wearing the Claremont hoodie.
Yeah, brilliant. So I forgot you dressed up especially for that. It was just brilliant in there. The crowd is steepled high. They make a noise. They sound like a football crowd, which you hardly hear anywhere else, and they don't stop. And boy, did they get on the referee's back when he sent Nick Abendanon on off. It was really funny.
But I'm not right in saying, every time I've been there, despite all that, when the whistle goes, they always applaud the visiting team.
Yeah, they did that.
Which is fair enough. You don't get much of that in Munster. Right, the European Cup. Someone said this morning in the Wales Online, and amazingly, it wasn't a rip-off of someone else's article, which it usually is, but someone said that there could be no English teams at all in the quarter-final of European Champions Cup. You've seen Saracens and you've seen the rest. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think it sounds madness at all. I still think that England will get two in, but they could easily get none. I mean, they don't have actually any in the top half, so they're all in the bottom two of the five groups. So, I'm mistaken there. Bath, the top of their group. So I think Bath will get through, and I just think that one of Saracens and Wasps will get there as well.
It doesn't help that some of the pools are crazy. Pool one is just barmy. When you've got La Rochelle, who are top of the top 14, you've got Ulster, and you've got Wasps. Quins are all at sea, so they're gone. You forget.
Quins are like your old Italian teams, aren't they? They're just making up numbers.
Yeah,
there's this, like, if we got, let's hope we get Quins in our group because that's an easy 8 points.
You know, but that's bananas to try and scrap out that one. And even making a prediction now, you've got 10 points, 13 points, and 15 points. You know, how do you pick who goes through in that one?
I think you'd be foolish to write off Saracens. Well, I think they'll get players back, and it'll be a different.
Saracens, in my opinion, if Saracens do qualify, they'll win it because they've got five players of would be contenders for any world team all to come back.
No, I agree with
that. And I think if Saris get,
what are you talking? Vunipola, Marrow,
Brits,
Wigglesworth, and Barrett.
Yeah, well, there's five. I mean,
Liam Williams.
And Barrett wouldn't be in a world team, perhaps, but I tell you what, in terms of great players at club level,
he'd be in any world team.
Al, let's go on. You really put yourself out this week by watching all the games from your own lounge, but Tigers, Munster, Tigers could not react to the humiliation of the week before. That's surely a big black mark.
Absolutely, and it's their third loss at home in Europe in a decade. You know, and that tells you how significant that is. You know, from the game before, and I think we spoke before we came on here, Steve, you mentioned that you wanted to talk about the fact that they had that lack of fight, and that's something that actually tells you where they are right now. Bearing in mind that this is a Munster team who have got an almost brand new head coach. They've got Johan van Graan, who came in the week before, oversaw that smashing, and then did it again in this match. And for all the headlines being about Manu Tuilagi coming back and how fantastic that must be, and then you look at how Tuilagi has to back that up this week as well, you know, that cannot gloss over the way that they've performed. Dan Cole, in particular, he gave away five penalties in the first half and got sent off. That tells you where, I believe that's a great way of telling you where this Leicester team is at the moment, where they are. You know, we often talk about how they have to scrap to get wherever they come. But they're scrapping, and then they're scrapping without any brains behind it. And that's where they are at the moment. They're just swinging at shadows.
He's always given quite a few penalties away, isn't he, Dan Cole?
Absolutely. But
he does for England, yeah.
Yeah.
But is it not... look, Al, you're a prop. I mean, isn't it not time for Dan now to ring the exit bell and for just chuck in Harry Williams or someone, because it's getting beyond the joke?
Oh, you're talking about for England?
For England. For England. Well, maybe for the Tigers, but for England.
Absolutely. And I think it comes down to lack of playing resources, really, at Leicester. You know, you hear it over and over again about the Leicester way, and it's fantastic when you can rely on players like Bateman, who can come in and put in a shift, and a lot of respect for that. Dan Cole just needs, I think, a bit of time away from the Cole face at least. And that was not an intended pun, by the way. He needs some time away to settle himself, because there's only so long you can rely on reputation for what you can do in a scrum. And you know what? I actually agree with you. I think I've said on this podcast before that I think Harry Williams needs to start getting some minutes for England. But there are so many other players that surely are due some time before World Cup 2019. Because what happens if Dan Cole continues to play and is then hit by lightning?
I think the England starting three in the World Cup with Harry Williams and Sinclair will be on the bench. I think we'll move to that place.
Well, you've admittedly saved 12 points there with the penalties. Steve, I know, even though you've been up all night, every night following the Ashes, I know you keep up with the English scene. No English clubs in the quarterfinal for you, or a couple are going to sneak in?
Yeah, I think that, as I said, I think Saracens will get through. And yeah, Wasps as well, I think, yeah.
Now you went to, let's deal with the Welsh angle. Some optimism because Scarlets are still in the shaker.
Yeah.
Ospreys put away Northampton. Ospreys lose by 60, then they beat Northampton. What's happening down there, and how are the Ospreys showing any signs?
Yeah, I was at that game actually yesterday, the Ospreys Northampton. Terrible game. Two poor sides, if I'm honest. Poor conditions as well, which didn't help. Expected a bit more of a reaction from Northampton, to be honest. I know they're missing Hartley, Laws, and Wood, but I mean they barely fired a shot, did they? I mean they look a very poor team. Not sure the Ospreys are that much better. They scrummage well. Arhip's a very good tight end, isn't he? Alan Wynne-Jones and Bradley Davis had good games. Their lineup wasn't great. I'll be amazed if the Ospreys manage to make it through. But they got Saracens at home next game, haven't they? I think so. That'll be an interesting encounter. The Scarlets, I can't quite see them doing it. But that game against Bath at Bath will be a good game.
It'll be good fun.
I watched the Scarlets game against Bath at the Scarlets early in the season. They were very disappointing, the Scarlets, weren't they?
Right.
Now, if you remember that game, it was in the rain, wasn't it?
Yes,
they were quite naive, weren't they, in that game?
Now, another game in the rain was Wasps and La Rochelle. So I have to admit, it was the only game I saw on the weekend. And I just had this feeling, because Wasps have gone through, didn't get a bonus point themselves, but they did stop La Rochelle from getting one, and I believe they're actually ahead in the fixtures between those two teams. Now, Wasser got people coming back, weren't that good. I just thought that was quite a good mental comeback by them, still without a lot of players. Also, Bath Toulon, what a two fantastic games those teams have played against each other. I mean, when I was watching that game, I thought, well, there's no way Bath can lift themselves, but my goodness, they did. And let's not write off Toulon for a minute. Those guys played it bloody hard, and for their jerseys, they're not there for pensions. That lot they put out.
Match. Do you think that match was the coming of age for Anthony Watson? Because he blossomed.
Totally. And I tell you what, Anthony Watson, for me, when he's played on the wing, which Eddie Jones always does, Slotty, he stands out there and waits for the ball. When he gets the ball at fullback, he is electrified. I mean, I don't know if you saw the tries, but my goodness. Some of them were just bloody like a Rolls Royce.
Well, he described his second one as like an under-11s rugby try, because it's like I'm this fast guy, and I'm going to try and
run across
the pitch as far as I can go, and then suddenly I'll go forward. I thought it was brilliant. And I do agree with what you're saying. And there was Eddie Jones in the stand, the evidence right under his nose. And to go back to dear old Mike Brown, you just will not see anything like that from him ever.
No,
you were talking about atmospheres at Claremont. I mean, that looked like a special atmosphere at the Rec on Saturday night. I mean, it's a proper atmosphere.
It's funny because they've been trying to get a new ground for about 40 years, and now it's slightly coming closer. Now you're thinking, actually, I don't know, a new ground, if it's a great big, because the atmosphere, it does look sensational. It's always full. And another thing, yet again, second week running, this front row of Dunn, Obamo and Lahif, my goodness. I mean, they're just all over the field.
I mean, that Dunn, he really puts himself...
Oh, he's unbelievable.
The tackles he makes, unbelievable.
He's like a thresher, isn't he, Dunn? It's impossible, the number of tackles he's unbelievable. Together. I can't get over the maths.
Have you looked at Obamo much and Lahif? Because they're going up the ratings now. My goodness, they're good.
Obamo's Marrow's first cousin, isn't he? Did I say that last week? It's my favourite fact at the moment.
So this is not
is that right?
Family fortunes with Bob Monkhouse,
it's
show.
Well, it's a fortunate family with those two, isn't it? I mean,
no, it is.
There's a lot in there. He was brilliant, wasn't he?
Oh, he's unbelievable. Yeah. I just love the young bulls, young bulls at a gate sort of thing. They're brilliant.
I'd just like to go back very quickly to the Northampton Saints, because of all the speculation at the moment about who's going to take over, and the way, as Steve just explained there, how woeful they are at the moment, I just had this vision in my head of the room that fills up, the waiting room filling up with people as they wait to go in for their interview. And there's names being thrown about, like Dean Richards and Mike Ford, even Lancaster and Gatland. Now, I'm not sure how Gatland would possibly even entertain the idea of coaching Northampton. But just have this vision of that waiting room. It's ridiculous.
Jake White?
Do you know what, though? I reckon it's not a bad job to have, because I think it's quite fixable. What's happening there?
I think you're completely right. It's like buying a great stock when they're low, isn't it? They're going to go up really quickly.
I reckon a few signings. It's a good club, isn't it?
Yeah,
a great stadium.
But look at them. Look at their team on paper.
Yeah, they've got some good players. Yeah, right? I mean, they desperately need a fly off. They're going to get one next season.
I think
it's pretty fixable, though.
They're getting one, though.
Yeah.
Sorry,
they're getting a fly half.
I think it's a good job.
I have to say this at this point, having watched Danny Cipriani quite short into his comeback with Wasps, and then you think that Piers Francis, arriviste, do you all know what that word is? I'll explain later if you don't. I mean, someone who's just arrived, basically.
It's a skiing term, isn't it?
The arriviste.
He's
fly
not your
half.
First cousin, this guy, is he?
No, he's not. No, but, no, I mean, no. Blimey, he snatched out of nowhere, the obscurity of Auckland, which is, you know, the back end of nowhere.
He had to go to Scotland beforehand as well.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, never quite shone.
Oh, amazing. He didn't get in the Scottish team.
He didn't shine at the Liberty Stadium yesterday.
But I mean, Steve, Danny Cipriani has done everything that's been asked of him. He's been battered, bruised. He's been maligned for so-called bad behaviour off the field, when all he did is run into a bus once when he was had a few drinks. It's pathetic. And I tell you what, the guy is so many light years ahead of Mr. Francis that it's not true.
Well, there's a difference there in the way that they play. Piers Francis, if you've watched him this season, he's very keen on scuttling sideways across the park, waiting for runners to spark off him, rather than just relying on his own ability to create a hole for someone else. He's basically wanting someone to just bust through often, and often he just runs all of his teammates out of space. You compare that to the way that Cipriani, now, in danger here of saying that Cipriani is magnificent every single game he plays, he's a big enough boy to appreciate that he has his highs and his lows, but, you know, for the qualities that he has, that is not a failing of his. He does not run people out of space. He can put passes on a plate for someone if they are willing to run into the right holes, and that's the difference between them.
Isn't it more Cipriani versus Lazowski rather than Cipriani versus Francis?
Yeah,
I mean,
you've
got Ford and Farrell as the first two, and then it's who's behind that.
I agree.
We're talking about England. We're just wasting our time here, aren't we? I mean, he's never going to get close.
That's
I mean,
a very good point.
It's a good conversation, and he's a great player, but he's just miles away. He doesn't get on with people, and that's why he's not in.
Yeah.
Who?
I thought we were talking about Danny Cipriani.
No, we are talking about Danny Cipriani.
Right.
What do you mean it doesn't get on with people?
The point Solly's making, there's Ford and Farrell, who are obviously way above the rest, aren't they? So you're talking about your number three, aren't you, basically?
Yeah, we are, but I still think that Danny's coveted his place for years, and some bloke comes from nowhere with nothing to offer. That's all I'm saying.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Just move on to the Pro 14 now. They're all very cocky because some of their teams have done well in the Champions Cup. Actually, they're not their teams really, because the teams they field in the Pro 14 are, in terms of motivation and personnel, nothing like the teams that play in Europe. But anyway, they have got a good idea this week. And incidentally, before we go into that, Steve and I were talking before the game about why local clubs don't play over Christmas. Yeah. There's no, I mean, I'll need to name two: Lydney and Maidenhead. have just plucked those two out of thin air. But what, you know, what
they're in the same league.
They're in the same league, yeah. And no, if there's
no
league,
Lindy beat Maidenhead as well, didn't they, Steve?
Well, what can you do with a ref like that? I didn't see the game, by the way. All the ref.
We're bottom but one. You're a bit higher than us. Okay.
But the thing is, why wouldn't you play like on Boxing Day over Christmas? Because thousands of people will come down to watch and have a drink. I just don't understand it. Anyway,
yeah, it's a shame. It is. A shame.
Some of us would be too hungover, I think, to want to play the game like that.
Well, okay, fair enough.
We used to play Lindy. Used to play Gloucester on Boxing Day.
Yeah, I know. Did you ever beat them?
Not on Boxing Day, no.
Okay, when did you beat them?
Once, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, fair enough. And the Pro 14, they have got a marketing idea, and that is to play all the over Christmas to play all the derbies. So it's Leinster, Munster, etc.
Yeah.
Which is good, and you know, you get big crowds. And I have to say, if you take away the derbies from the whole tournament, I think it really struggles a bit. But it's Glasgow, Edinburgh, which would be great. So partly. Owen and Al, good, and we'll come on to Steve for the converse.
Well, firstly, I think I agree with you. It's a necessity, and that's why they made a point. Because when they had this, when the South African teams came in and they split the league in two and put it into the groups, they realised that there was no way they could get away without having those fixtures. So they had to convolute a way where they would have three fixtures or four fixtures a year against the teams that they would traditionally play against. And you've got to say that that's a good thing, because you have to have something. You have to have a traditional rival, because all the best will in the world, Connacht and one of the South African sides have no history to speak of. And few people are going to travel over anyway.
Yeah.
So you have to give them something to look forward to. And for all the nonsense that was round about it, with the made-up cup names and the, you know, the sponsor shirts that look like a Jackson Pollock painting, for all of that, it gives something that has that element of traditional about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, fine. Steve, you think that there's reservations in Wales because they're all playing each other, so that's three games in a short period of time.
I mean, I like the derbies. They're the only games that get decent crowds in Wales, so yeah. I can see what they're doing. And I'll go to Newport on Boxing Day and watch, you know, Dragons against Cardiff Blues as a fan. But this year, they've got three matches in 10 days, which, you know, I presume they'll pick full-strength sides for all those games. I mean, in this day and age, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Three games in 10 days. Three, you know, they'll be tough games, won't they? Because they batter the living daylights out of each other in those derby games, don't they? So I think they're taking the mick a bit there. I mean, maybe two games, but not three in such a short period of time.
Okay, just before we are, I know you're all waiting out there for Steve James's moratorium, or rather his exhumation of the England team. But Owen, where are we going? Where are we going over Christmas to work?
To work?
Oh, sorry, are you having Christmas off? Well, I'm sorry.
I'll come back to this.
What are you doing?
You slightly got me umming and erring there, which is obviously very rare on this podcast.
Well, let's see where you're going on Saturday.
It's like an insinuation that I'm deserting the barricades and not going to do any shifts out there.
Yeah.
And I am. I'm going to the New Year's Eve game in Exeter.
Right.
Exeter against Leicester, which will be as a long way to go back for my celebrations in the evening. That's how I'm... This is what you want to say, is how much I'm putting myself out for the readers.
And,
Slotty is...
Maybe the producer could find some of that violin music that Grand Rhode
Island... So over the Yuletide...
Do you reckon he'll get back before midnight?
You're interrupting festivities once to...
I promised my wife I'm going to be in situ at 9:30.
Okay,
what
Al?
Time to kick off?
3:00. It's madness, isn't it? I know. I hope she doesn't listen to this. I'm going to let
So far, between two of the panel, we've got one game between us.
I'm watching... Dragons Blues as a fan. And I'm covering Bath Wasps on the 29th, Friday the 29th.
All right, this week I'm going to Wasps and Gloucester, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm going up in a minibus with 17 people, and I'm not the driver, and I won't be drinking, the only one, so I'm really looking forward to that.
There's 16 people to run the quotes for you.
Well, they're not all journalists.
Wasps v Gloucester will be a good game, though.
No, it will.
Because it'll at least be entertaining. I saw the news today, because everyone's getting in a fluster about Gloucester as well and all the potential signings that they're going to have. I saw one of them poo-pooed today, though. Jack O'Creel, the Springboks and Lions flanker, will not be joining Gloucester. Apparently, I've seen that confirmed today by his agent.
They will go
South African, though, won't they? There'll be a few South Africans coming in.
Anyone not signed up by anybody else will be joining the Dragons, I can tell you that.
Richard Hibbard's joining the Dragons.
Is he?
Yep.
Oh, they're coming out the woodwork now.
He's one of your favourites, isn't he, Hibbard?
He's better than anything
just
Wales
got. Before
we
came on it.
Okay.
So, hang a sec. Is that like an exclusive?
No.
Okay. Well, just imagine if we had an exclusive on this podcast.
No, we didn't get that. Sorry.
Now we've established no one's doing any work over Christmas. We've come on to the rugby's dark side. Al, Rugby World this month, the key feature is by you. I know what you put a lot of time and effort and energy into it. About basically foreign players becoming mysteriously changing nationalities, going elsewhere. Some to good effect. Others to not very good effect, especially Pacific Islanders almost getting lost and marooned and exiled, a lonely exile in France.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, actually, I tried to stay clear as much as possible from the international thing. There's a bit in it. There's a little bit of a debate. We clarify how the residency rules will be changing as of 2020, what the breakdown is of that. And I spoke to some players about their views on the five-year residency rule. And, you know, there's a lot in that. One of the things, the main focus for me, though, was to look at lower down the tiers, because we're seeing more and more players than ever before travel abroad to make a crust playing rugby union. And
sometimes it is a crust, as you prove.
Absolutely. So I went out to Perpignan with the Pacific Rugby Players Welfare Group to meet guys that are playing in the lower leagues of France, who are, some of them, really struggling to make their ends meet because of the social side of things, where a lot of Pacific Islanders feel duty-bound to send money home to their family on the islands. Some of them, when you're earning not that much money or you're on a pay-to-play contract where you're chugging along and you're sending maybe 500 euros of a 600 euros a month paycheck, and you've got bills to pay, and then you've got to feed yourself, and your coach is saying, why are you not putting on any weight? Why are you not performing as well? Why are you tired all the time? That's a hell of a lot of pressure. You pile into that the other social side of things, of that pressure from home, injuries, depression is a key issue for a lot of these guys.
Mm.
And that's one side of things. Then you go into the extreme end of exploitation, or how, as what I would see the extreme end of exploitation. A very sad story that I uncovered in this piece, and I had to put in a lot of time to stand up. A story of a young 27-year-old Tongan prop who played in Japan for Honda Heat. And in 2015, he was discovered dead in a hotel room the day after playing a game for his club's B team. And there were suspicions of concussion, although you cannot say whether or not that can neither confirm or deny that actually was the cause of it. However, that story itself of someone that can come in and none of us have heard about it. You know, a rugby player with a professional outfit can die in his hotel room and none of us know about it. You've got all that. And then there's so much more. I mean, I could go on and on about all the different aspects to it. I've spoken to Owen a lot about this, about the South African aspect of it as well. I spoke to a lot of people in South Africa about the player drain out there. And that's the thing, is you've got to weigh up. And I have to say at this point as well, there are very good stories and there are a lot of good opportunities out there as well. But further down the leagues, there is the opportunity for people to take the mick.
Yeah.
And for people to exploit others. There are good stories and there are bad stories. And there are some fantastic people operating out there. The problem is the lack of education, so knowing who the right people to deal with are, and also saying what is acceptable and what's not acceptable.
If you want to read about this, the Great Migration, it's in this month's Rugby World. It's arguably the second best article in there. No, I'm joking.
What did you write about?
It's wonderful. Should be. I'll just ask Steve and Owen. Some of this is really, really cruel player welfare exploitation stories. At the sort of top end, though, does it irk you that now so many international players, when they come out, are actually nationals of another country for every country in the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar problem we've had in cricket as well, isn't it? I've also been a big one for extending those residential rules, that's for certain. I mean, we saw in the autumn, didn't we, that Hadley Parks, you know, the Kiwi who ended up playing for Wales, you know, he'd been qualified about 2 hours, I think, when he stepped onto the Principality Stadium turf. You know, he'd just been there 3 years. Is that a big enough commitment? Three years is not, is it? As Alan said, I mean, that's going to change, isn't it?
Owen, does it irk you? The Kiwi Scots and whatever.
Yeah, there's
there's two ends to it. There's the tier one end, which is when you see the Kiwi Scots, for instance, or Hadley Parks, as you mentioned, or an Australian team that's stuffed full of Fijians or etc. And in England as well, Nathan Hughes. I mean, bless him, he took his opportunity, but I don't think he should have been given it.
I never blame the player, by the way. I mean, it's not.
A lot of what Al's written about in this feature in a brilliant feature in Rugby World is the fact that the rugby is actually providing a decent income and an opportunity for people around the world. But the other side of it is if you go to the likes of Germany or Romania or Russia, for instance, you see these countries actually getting a little bit stronger because they have South Africans. They source them, and some of them go over and do the 3 years, which will be five, which so that will probably stop. But some of them have there are South Africans with German heritage, etc. And so those nations are becoming stronger. Now, this seems a preposterous way to level up the rugby world, because there's something we talked about many times on this podcast, is there aren't enough strong nations. But it is a way of getting some of the tier two / tier three nations a little bit stronger.
I think the thing is that the changes are off in the distance in 2020. We're actually starting to see some of the changes happen already, because I spoke to some fellas from Georgia, and if you're from a country like Georgia where earning ends meet is hard enough as it is, and you have to make a choice between, do I want to continue playing rugby and try and get to a different level, or do I take on a job and give up the game forever? I've spoken to some people that say there are young guys who would have hoped to go out to France, earn a small contract, work their way up. But because at the very top end of the game now, the GIF rules are changing. Mm. Bernard Laporte has said that he wants to crack down on them. So this very issue that we're talking about is wanting to crack down on the number of foreigners in France, because he's sick of hearing the old question is, are the number of foreigners in the top 14 costing France quality? Mm. So the changes are happening. And I spoke to Milton Haig, the head coach of Georgia, the Georgian national team. And he said that they're already noticing that their under-20s team, and remember they hosted the under-20s World Cup in the summer there, years gone by they'd see six or seven of their guys disappear and go off to France. One. They've seen one this year. So the changes are already happening.
That's great news, and let's hope that we're all still in work when the day comes when international teams are international teams and all the watering down, I'm serious, all the watering down is over. Right, let's just quickly go to the main event of the day. Steve, 3-0 down after after three test matches. You said that England would be competitive, and basically they've become a bit of a joke. They were so bad they didn't even get an award on the Sports Personality of the Year.
Now.
Yeah, the Ashes, yeah.
I did think they'd struggle, because I always thought that Australian bowling attack was better than England's. But it's unravelled a lot more quickly than I thought it would. I mean, the bottom line is they've got a very good bowling attack. They totally out-bowled England. England senior players haven't stood up. Cook and Root haven't got any runs, which is also going to be a problem.
Why do we never have a really, really rapid bowler?
that's a good question.
Devon Malcolm. I thought he was fast, wasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't know where he was going, though, did he?
No.
It's a big question. too much cricket pitches on up to it. The balls we use in this country. There are a lot of reasons. The only thing I'd say about that is Australia have got three fast bowlers. They haven't got any more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as if they've got a stock of 20 of them. If one or two of them got injured, there aren't many to replace.
Elliot Daly's supposed to be a good cricketer.
Okay.
Yeah, he is. He can do anything, but maybe it's time to call up Elliot Daly.
He's injured, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a bad. He'll be right for the next Ashes.
Slightly, that's a great idea. Right, Daly flies out. Okay, thanks so much for listening. Dai Young flies out and take over his coach.
Seriously, yeah, he's good. He's a bloody good cricketer, Daly.
I know, I've heard.
Yeah. I bet he's dying to have his head knocked off by Hazelwood and all those guys. Mm. Thanks very much for listening to The Ruck. Just the good news is that The Ruck will be out on Boxing Day. There'll be a very special panel, based on today's panel. In fact, it is today's panel. But we'll be coming back in on Boxing Day to record it. And this is about the 455th podcast we've done this year. But are we losing it? And are we tiring? Of course not. We'll be back next week. Thank you to Steve, to Big Al, and to Owen, and to our ever spectacular producer. Back next week. Thank you.
rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.